This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. We are led by our senior pastors, Jeff and Tracy Lamont. Today's message is titled, Jesus is the Prophet, and was offered by Pastor Jeff Lamont. It was recorded on September 1st, 2019. It's our prayer that God will use it to begin and reveal something new in you. God bless.
Well, I'm excited this morning to continue the series, Jesus Is. Everybody say, Jesus Is. Jesus Is. Yeah, and if I could get those lights back to where they were, that'd be great, guys. We've been in this series. I think this is part 9 in the series. We started it as a summer series, and let's see, are the lights back where they were? They are. Okay. We started it as a summer series, and I've just enjoyed hanging out here talking about Jesus, and I've gotten a lot of really rich and good feedback from you guys. So this morning, I want to kind of go from a little different angle, and I want to talk about something we've honestly talked a little bit about along the way, and then I did a message maybe a couple of months ago on this, but I just feel a sense from the Lord to stir something here in this body. And sometimes you just feel that as a pastor, that your job is to stir up the gifts of God in the people of God. I believe that's one of my roles. And this morning I want to talk about Jesus is the prophet. A few weeks ago we did Jesus is the Christ, and we talked about him being prophet, priest, and king. And this morning I want to focus in just a little more on this concept of the prophet and on the importance of prophecy according to the New Testament. And it's interesting to me because I'm a seminary grad. I spent 3 years getting a Master of Divinity, and then I spent another several years getting a Doctor of Ministry in Theology and Leadership. And I love studying God's Word. I love looking into God's Word. I love the Word. And I have a lot of friends who are very, very, they're biblicists. They're people who take God's Word seriously. They're people who study it and exegete it and look into the Greek and the Hebrew and read the commentaries. And an interesting thing to me is that this is one of those things the New Testament addresses very forthrightly. Do not forbid prophecy. And yet it's an interesting thing because even some denominations along the way have developed a mindset. Here's what one denomination says when it comes to the spiritual gifts. Seek not and forbid not, which basically ends up meaning nothing happens. We say we're open to it, but quite honestly, nothing happens. So it kind of is a moot point. And this morning, I want to focus in on the fact that Jesus is the prophet, and Jesus is raising up a prophetic people who can speak words of life into the hearts and lives of others. I really do believe that every single one of you here should be desiring this, should be open to this, should be listening for words from the Lord for others, and should be in the marketplace sharing these type of things. I think it was just a week or so ago, Tracy and I and our son went to Blaze Pizza, and we were having a great pizza. Anybody like Blaze Pizza? Yeah, I do. And we were having a great pizza, and my wife had gone up to get, I think, a refill on her drink. I didn't know what she was doing. And one of the ladies in the restaurant, God just zeroed in. It was like the Lord just showed her, that young lady needs a word. And my wife's very sensitive about this, and she doesn't make a big scene, and she just walks in the Spirit, and I'm so proud of her. And says, excuse me, I just feel like God's prompting something on my heart for you, and I feel like he just wants to remind you how much he loves you, and he sees you, and he knows what you're going through, and he just wants you to know that. And it was right there in the middle of Blaze Pizza, and it was done with just a lot of sensitivity, not making any kind of scene, not drawing out, you know, and creating, you know, a crowd or anything like that, just very sensitively. And the lady looks at my wife and is touched, deeply touched, because she had just found out that a loved one, one of her very close family members, had just been diagnosed with cancer. And fear was just trying to take a hold on her. And there in that moment, God just showed himself real to that young lady. I don't know what her walk with God was, but I guarantee you this, before she walked out of Blaze that day, she had a witness personally that the Lord cared about her. Isn't that awesome? And you know, God wants to do that kind of thing through you. He really does. And it's not too terribly complicated. We make it complicated. Can I just say this? Let me read our main scripture to you quickly. This has been our theme scripture through this whole series, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2. You'll remember, friends, that when I first came to you, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus, who he is, and then Jesus and what he did. Jesus crucified. We've been talking about different facets of Jesus' life, his ministry, his personality, his character, his nature. And my premise has simply been this: the better you know Jesus, the more deeply you will love him, because to know him is to love him. To truly know who he is and what he carried when he walked this earth is to love him more and more deeply. And honestly, I think that's the best description that I can ever give for Christianity, is Christianity is a love relationship. It's not, this isn't religion we're talking about. This is more like falling in love. Christianity is more like falling in love than signing up for some kind of religious institution or some kind of religious course or teaching. It's knowing Jesus, and when you know him, you will love him. I want you to look at a scripture with me, and it's going to be pretty small because it's long, and I'll read it pretty quickly here. But it's an interesting passage from the Old Testament, and sometimes people have a misconception about this whole issue of prophecy, and I want to clear that up this morning if there's any of you that would have this misconception. But some people think when God begins to work through people who have prophecy or who are walking in the office of a prophet, that it creates confusion. It maybe tears down, and that could not be further from the truth and further from God's heart for what New Testament prophecy is. Let me just say this: God is not into spooky, folks. God's not into weird. You can walk in the supernatural in a very natural way. And I believe that's the way the Lord wants us to. Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 19. When you come into the land which the Lord your God's giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, anyone who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. God's not into spooky. Aren't you glad of that? And let me just say to you, you don't have to go to any of these things or turn to any of these things for direction and guidance in your life. Because if you will just knock, 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 knock. I love that part of the song. God will open the door. God will speak to your heart. God will show you his plan. God will you can begin to hear his voice. He really, really, really wants a personal relationship with you. Verse 13, you should be blameless before the Lord your God, for these nations which you will dispossess listened to soothsayers and diviners, but as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. We live in a day and a time right now where there's a incredible interest in spiritism, in things of the supernatural. There's many, many television shows that have absolutely become some of the most watched shows that deal with things like what we've just read about. Even Christian people have been known to go and to look into these type of things instead of going deeper in their walk with God, instead of looking to the Lord. And I just want to encourage you, man, God is there for you, and he wants to speak to you. He wants to speak through you. He wants to speak to you and through you to others. The Lord your God, verse 15, will write about Jesus, a prophet. A prophet. Notice the capital P's talking about Jesus here. A prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear. Him you shall hear, according to all you desire to the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. Very interesting. One of the things that happened with the children of Israel in the Old Testament is they got afraid of approaching God. They got afraid of coming to the holy mountain. They wanted someone to speak on God's behalf for them. And here's what I think about that. I think that Jesus knew, of course, in his vast wisdom and foresight, that only by coming to this earth and becoming like us would we not be afraid and once again hear him. Once again, understand that he really does want relationship with us, that he really does personally want to connect with us. That's the plan of God. Verse 17, and the Lord said to me, what they've spoken is good. I'll raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren. Again, capital P. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. He's talking about Jesus. Moses is literally prophesying that Jesus is going to come. He's going to come to this earth. He's going to become the mouthpiece of God, the living word of God. This is so important. Now, let me show you that it absolutely, the Bible confirms itself. If you want to understand the Bible, you understand the Bible by looking to the Bible. It's absolutely so true. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, look at this passage. It says, repent therefore and be converted. This is the day of Pentecost, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. He's quoting from that passage in Deuteronomy. Him you shall hear in all things. You want to have a personal revival? Let me tell you how to do it. Get a paper Bible that has the red letters of Jesus. Read the red and your life power. Read the red and let it absolutely direct your life. Let it speak to your heart. Sometimes that's probably the best thing you can possibly do, is start in that book of Matthew and just go through and read the words of Jesus, God's prophet. Man, I had an interesting encounter on an airplane here recently. I sat down, it was a crowded plane, and the fellow beside me, I forget how it happened, but we struck up a conversation, and I asked him what he did, and he said, well, I'm like a liaison between cultures. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, that sounds like a missionary to me. And I just turned to him at one point and I said, you're a missionary, aren't you? He goes, yeah, how'd you know? I said, well, you know, I caught your lingo there. Come to find out, this guy's an expert in being a witness to the Muslim culture. He's been to 24 different Islamic nations, meets with high-up imams. This guy is a strong Christian, has many, many surahs, I think they're called, from the Quran memorized. There's over 100 verses, what we would call verses, I think they call them surahs, in the Quran that speak of Jesus. And he literally has created, perfected this way to witness to a Muslim by quoting the Quran to them. He can lead people to Christ by quoting the Quran, because the Quran is full of powerful truth about Jesus, even though they've been taught from tradition to just see him as a great prophet, but not as the greatest prophet, because in Islam, it's often stated that Muhammad is the greatest prophet. He's only mentioned 3 times in the Quran. There's lots of controversy and speculation about his life. Jesus is the great prophet, folks, not Muhammad. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus speaks words of life to us. By the way, it was really cool, my friend, as we sat there for 2 hours and conversed on this plane ride. He said, you know what, I just came from a big conference. I've got one book left, and I'm going to give it to you. He said, I wonder why I only had one left. Hallelujah. And I said, well, good, thank you. And then he said, you know what, I think I have a Quran translated by a Lebanese believer in Christ from Arabic to English with all of the study notes from a Christian perspective. And he said, I only have one of those too. I think it's for you. So I now have a Quran. How about that? Isn't that interesting? Haven't quite read it yet, but hey, it's pretty interesting. So what do we need to know about prophets? Let me first of all dispel some misconceptions. Prophets don't tear down the church. The gift of prophecy is used to build up the church. And back to what I was saying earlier, I've studied the Bible a lot. I've been around a lot of churches, a lot of denominations. It's interesting to me how quickly we pass over this whole thing of prophecy. We get really stringent on certain things in the Bible, and then other things we just skip over and act as if they're not there. And the Bible says, do not forbid prophecy. Do not extinguish that fire. In fact, we're to eagerly desire that God would speak through us. Let me just use that language, because I think that's just a whole lot more comfortable language for us. And when I was in the former denomination, the denomination I was in as a young person, God would speak through people all the time. We just wouldn't have the language for it. And quite honestly, we were scared to use any biblical language because it might get us thrown out of the church. Because they'd absolutely ruled against that because they couldn't control that. So, you know, they didn't encourage that. But God was still using people. God will get around our stupidity. You know what I'm saying? God will bypass us, and he'll use us in spite of our own selves at times. God wants to speak through you to the people around you. Jesus didn't come to tear down the church, folks. He came to build up the church. He doesn't tear down people. He builds them up. He restores them. He heals them. He helps them. Jesus, the prophet, is all about building, not tearing down. We at times have a tendency toward the negative, and sometimes if we're not careful, we can get into a negative spirit, a negative attitude, a negative kind of place in our flesh. But God's into building people up, not tearing them down. Let me show you some powerful scriptures. 1 Corinthians 14:3. He who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort. Prophetic coming out. If you hear something that we would classify as the prophetic coming out of this platform, this pulpit, this leadership, that doesn't edify, exhort, and comfort, let me know, because it's not of the Lord. If it's tearing down, if it's condemning, if it's shaming, instead of edifying, which means to build up, exhorting, which means to stir up, and comforting, which means to lift up, let me know, because we will not allow it. God's all about building up. 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, I want you to think about this, because we love hanging out in 1 Corinthians 13, don't we? It's the love chapter. Man, we love that chapter. We love it at weddings. We love it, you know, it's just one of our favorite chapters of the Bible. But you know there weren't divisions, right, between verses, and there weren't divisions between chapters initially. When the Bible was written, it was written in a series of letters. And literally, 14:1 continues right from 13, and it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 13 is not a polemic against spiritual gifts in any way. 1 Corinthians 13 leads right into 14, which encourages spiritual gifts, which tells you to earnestly desire them. When's the last time you desired God to flow through you? Especially that you may prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14:39. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. This is a really strong word in the Greek. I mean, it means a deep-hearted desire. Let me tell you what prophecy is, and I love this verse, Revelation 19:10. This is such a powerful verse, and I think I left it out of your slide, but it says, and I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you do not do that. I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Listen, prophecy in the New Testament's always going to move you toward Jesus. Do you hear me? Amen. It's the testimony of Jesus. Look at his life. Look at his teachings. Look at the way he lived. Prophecy's always going to move you closer to him, in relationship with him. One of the best examples of a New Testament prophet was this guy Barnabas. Everybody say Barnabas. Yeah, let me ask the question. Why doesn't any of us good homeschool families ever name our sons or, you know, Barnabas? Why don't we ever choose Barnabas? I don't know, you know. But here not too long ago, I was at a conference, and I went to a little special workshop, and I heard him call this guy's name. He said his name was Barnabas. I thought, wow, finally I found a Barnabas. Finally I found a Barnabas. Come to find out it was John Piper's son, Barnabas Piper. But Barnabas is one of these amazing guys in the New Testament who doesn't get much press for some reason. The Bible says that Paul was an apostle and Barnabas was a prophet. Barnabas was a prophet. He was just an ordinary guy who God spoke through to touch and build up and bless other people. And that's really what prophecy is. Prophecy is God using ordinary people to speak to other people on his behalf. And I taught through this here not long ago, and you can look this sermon up if you'd like to hear more about this. I'm just going to go through it quickly. But three questions to ask the Holy Spirit when you are in somebody else's presence, whether it's at work or at the gym or at the grocery store. What can I say that would help them keep going, that would strengthen them, that would build them up? What has God spoken to them that I can confirm? And the Lord will show you things like that. Encouragement that'll stir them up. What pain have they experienced that God wants to comfort? And God will use you to lift them up. That's the prophetic. Sometimes you're ministering in the prophetic and you don't even realize it. But here's one thing I've found. The more I ask, the more I receive. Knock, 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 knock. And God opens up the door. The more I ask the Lord, I'll do this. This has just become a habit for me. And it's a holy habit, and it's one that I would encourage you. When I go into a meeting, at the beginning of the meeting, I just quiet my soul before the Lord, and I say, now, Lord, what would you have me speak that would be words of life, something prophetic, something that would build up, that would comfort, that would exhort this person? What would you have me say? And then I just listen. I don't stress. I don't try to conjure it up. I just listen. We do something in our staff, and it's become one of the most powerful things we do with our staff, and I absolutely love this, and we joke about it and stuff because, you know, sometimes it can be a little overwhelming, but it's really, really good, and God has used it in powerful ways. Whenever one of our staff has a birthday, and by the way, Glenn just had a birthday this last week. Where'd Glenn go? There he is. Wish him a happy birthday. Glenn, love ya. Whenever one of our staff has a birthday, Miss Carla will send out a little thing just reminding everybody, hey, it's Glenn's birthday coming up. We'll be celebrating him on Wednesday. And they all know what that means because we have a holy habit that we practice in our staff. When it's your birthday, every one of us are praying and asking God for something from his heart for you. So literally, I mean, we'll take days on this and just, you know, I'll just, Lord, what do you have for Glenn? What do you have for him? What do you have for Pastor Bert? What do you have for Jen Hansen? What do you have for Zach? And we'll just listen. And oftentimes I'll get something pretty, you know, powerful and insightful. And sometimes I'm just blown away by what the Lord gives me, and I'll write it down. And then we'll come into that meeting and we'll pray, and then we'll just start to bless one after another. We'll just go. We did this long ago. I got to tell you this story real quick because I think it absolutely was life-changing. But Mark Wright, who's the pastor of our church on the other side of town, on the south side of town, I was just with Mark last week. Mark was an engineer, a senior engineer with the Ford Corporation, the Ford Company, had a master's degree in engineering, was advancing quickly up the ladder at Ford, had a great job traveling to other countries and everything else. And we were on a mission trip one time, and it poured down rain. It just poured down rain. We were in Mexico, and we really couldn't go out and do what we were supposed to do that day. And I said, you know what, let's gather around, and I want us to go around the circle and just bless one another. So let's take some time, let's worship, let's pray, let's ask God for something life-giving for each other. And we did just that. We took a pretty good while with it, and I'll never forget, as we went around the circle and words of life were spoken over Mark Wright's life, I watched him begin to cry, watched God begin to move in his heart. I watched him to lay down his career at Ford was a big sacrifice. Big sacrifice. And to go back to school, go to seminary, because he felt a call of God. And I got to tell you, I'm so proud of him. He's a faithful man pastoring a church on the south side of town where there's lots of challenges. But he and his wife have touched hundreds and hundreds of people with the love of Christ. And God blessed him career-wise, too. He's still got a great position. But it's just amazing. It was through the gift of prophecy that God got his attention. Let's go back to Barnabas for a little bit. Barnabas is an amazing guy. Do you know that he earned that name? Do you know he earned the name Barnabas? Some of you have been hesitant to name your kids Barnabas or encourage your kids to name your grandkids Barnabas. He earned that title. It wasn't his natural God-given name. It was a name the apostles gave him. He wasn't born with that name. He was actually born with the name Joseph. Let's look at the passage and I'll show it to you. It's pretty powerful. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus. You know what happened here? Let me just give you a little insight as to what I think happened here. The apostles were watching Barnabas and they said, Barnabas, you always see the good in people. Barnabas, you're always building people up. Barnabas, you're always speaking life to people. Barnabas, God's always giving you something for people. You're always calling out God's purposes and God's gifts in people. Barnabas, the gift of prophecy is so powerful in your life. You exhort so many people. You build up so many people. We're going to give you a new name. We're going to call you Barnabas. Barney, good job. By the way, he had more than one bullet in his gun, I'm telling you. Barnabas. Son of encouragement. You know what that means literally? It means if encouragement had a son, it'd be you. You'd be the guy. God gives people names in the Bible. That's always powerful. This was from his peers, the people who worked and ministered and did life with him. Let me just ask you a personal question for a moment this morning. You don't want to make anybody uncomfortable, but what kind of name would the leaders in this church give you? Don't worry, we're not sitting around coming up with a name for you, so don't worry about that. That's not what's happening. But I want you to think about it personally. What kind of name would leaders in your life or people that know you well give you? Oh, there comes son of complaining. Look at there, there's daughter of disgruntledness. Look at there. There's their son of discontent. Look at that guy. That's the son of discouragement. Oh, there's daughter of fear. Now, when you think about it, what kind of name would those who know you well give to you? By the way, we would never give you that kind of name because we want to flow in the prophetic and encourage and edify and build up. Acts chapter 11, verses 22 and 23. Look at this about Barnabas. Pretty powerful stuff. The news of these things came out to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. Man, when they wanted to encourage and build up the body of Christ, who'd they send? The son of encouragement. Good old Barney. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad, and what did he do? Encouraged them all that with purpose of heart, encouraged them all that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. Remember why I said a minute ago that prophecy is that testimony of Jesus. It's the spirit of Jesus that they should continue. He encouraged them that they should continue with the Lord. Let me ask you a question. When he got there to Antioch, do you think he found a perfect church? Do you think there were no problems? It was like problem-free? No! There's never been a perfect church, by the way. And there never will be, on this side of the equation, a perfect church. And if you find it, please don't join it because you will mess it up. Because you ain't perfect. Only God's perfect. The chief shepherd of this thing, he's perfect. The rest of us, we're trying our best. And most of us have a few dings and a few dents. And we don't always get it right. But we love him and we love one another. Amen? And he's perfecting us, by the way. Wow. So, Jesus does this all the time. Jesus focuses on the positive, on building people up, on calling people out of their sin, on allowing grace to move and work in their life and their situation. The Bible says where sin abounds, grace abounds that much more. When Jesus encounters that woman at the well that has been married 5 times and now is living with a guy, he doesn't condemn her. No, he encourages her. He helps her. He calls her out of that. And she becomes one who has the testimony of Jesus and shares it with everybody in her village. Becomes one of the most powerful preachers, if you will, in the whole New Testament. See, prophecy is about building up the church. In Ezra, I'm not going to read this passage, but it says that the prophets, they were with them and they were helping build up the church. Those who allow God to speak through them, they build. They don't tear down, they build. 1 Peter 2:5, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You know, God's got a building plan for your life. You ever built a house? You have to have a plan. And you use that plan to follow every step in the construction process. God's got a plan for your life. He wants to build something out of your life. He wants to make something beautiful, something powerful, something impactful. And look what it says in 1 Peter 2:5. You're a living stone. You know what that means? You're a brick in God's hand. I just happened to, this is Pastor Bert's doorstop. He doesn't mess around with just little rubber things you slip under. He uses a real doorstop. I asked him if I could borrow it this morning, a brick. You're a brick. Everybody turn to somebody and say, you're a brick. Oh, come on. You are, you're a living stone. You're a brick in God's hands. Let me just share a couple things about bricks with you this morning. You know, bricks have an individual beauty. I mean, you know, this may not be the prettiest thing, but when you put a lot of them together, all of a sudden it looks pretty nice. If you've ever lived in a brick home, you know there's a lot of security and there's a lot of beauty that comes with building with brick. They become prettier the more of them that get together and the more of them that stick together. Bricks have an individual worth. I'm not exactly sure how much this brick is, but I think it probably would go for somewhere around $1. And if I had another brick, it'd be worth about $1 also. And another brick, it'd be worth about $1. We all have our worth and our value. And then bricks have individual strength. I need a volunteer. I want to hit somebody over the head with this and show you this is pretty strong. Anybody want to volunteer for that this morning? No, of course not. You already know this thing's pretty heavy and it would leave a pretty good dent. So we're not going to do anything like that. But I want you to think about bricks for a little bit. This is a really powerful thing to think about. You have an individual brick. They come in different colors. And here's 19 different shades of brick. There's some really pretty ones. If you were building a house, one of the things you might have to do is pick out that pattern that you would like for your house. There's lots of options. Some of them are prettier to you than others. But here's when the beauty begins to really take place is when the mason begins to lay the bricks and begins to put the mortar in and begins to build something. And I thought this wall was quite beautiful by this staircase. All of a sudden, those little individual bricks that didn't look so pretty on their own begin to look quite beautiful when placed together with other bricks. Amen? In fact, how many of you have ever been driving down the road? Pastor Bert and I were driving down the road the other day to go to lunch, and he says, you see that new place they're building on Shelbyville Road there in Middletown? I said, yeah, I did. I saw that. He said, I hear that's going to be a first watch. I said, really? Oh man, they got $1 million bacon. One of my favorite foods right there. That's a food group all of itself right there, Rick. If you haven't tried $1 million bacon, you should try that out. First watch. On a building, and they're building from the ground up, and you know, it's a pretty place, and we're wondering what it was. You know, if you're ever driving down the road and you see a big old pile of bricks, you don't go, I wonder what they're building there. No, you go, I wonder who left that mess. Somebody ought to clean that out. But when the mason begins to place the bricks one upon another and puts the mortar in and begins to connect the bricks to one another, boy, can you end up with some beautiful, beautiful buildings. I love this house here. Quite a cool looking house. And this is Regent University, if you've ever been there, in Virginia Beach. I know you've been there, Alexis. At one time long ago, I looked to go to school there. They've got a courtyard made out of brick, and then all the buildings are made in this colonial style. Quite beautiful. Quite beautiful. So it's an interesting thing when God begins, and this is what prophecy is all about. Prophecy calls us out. Prophecy calls us to the task of God. Prophecy calls us our gifts out so that we begin to be knit together with others to make a difference. Because listen, one brick can't do much on its own, but when bricks are put together, they can have an impact. And this is what God absolutely wants to do and is all about in his church. He's about building his church. By the way, he's the chief cornerstone, which means he's the biggest brick in the wall. He's the corner that secures everything else. The other day, several of you went to serve at the California Center, and you gave out hundreds and hundreds of backpacks. You cooked all kinds of hamburgers. You gave out clothes. You blessed people. Let me tell you, when the bricks got together, they made a difference. A couple weeks before that, you went to Mike and Amy Barr's church, Lifeline, in Mount Washington, and I watched John here play soccer with the kids. It was so much fun. He was having such a blast, and they were loving it. And when the bricks got together, they made an impact. Every Sunday morning, some bricks come together. It takes at least 30 people to facilitate what happens here on a Sunday morning. But when the bricks every single other, it's amazing what can be built. And God has a place for every brick. Every single brick has value, has worth, has a place that they fit. For the church to grow, you have to cooperate with and stick to the other bricks. That's hard, you say. Yeah, it is. I've known some bricks that come along and, you know, they rub up against another brick that's got some rough edges and they get offended. And then they run off and they go to another wall or to another building and they try to fit in there. And then they get offended there. And then they run and go to another place and they never quite find a place they fit in. And they just become an individual brick that never really finds its fit or its place and never really has the impact God had planned for it. And it's kind of a sad story. The Bible tells us very powerfully that we've got to forgive one another because we're not perfect and we are going to get on each other's nerves and we are going to offend each other from time to time and not even intentionally. We've got to forgive. We've got to love. We've got to keep coming back together and letting God build us together. What happens if a brick gets out of place? Well, it can cause a lot of damage. It can weaken the wall. It can weaken the whole structure. Every brick has its place. Every brick counts. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Now therefore, you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Listen, Jesus is our prophet, and Jesus is all about building his church. Amen, church? One more analogy. Hey, if I said to you, hey, I got a new car. Why don't you come take a look at it? I took you over to my garage, and hit my garage door opener, and the door opened up, and there inside that garage, over here was a steering wheel. Over here was a carburetor. Over here was an engine. Over here was a door, and over here was a seat. And every single piece was there, but they weren't assembled. You might look at me and go, "Well, I know you're really, you got all the pieces, but unless those pieces come together, it's going to be really limited on its impact." Kind of like that pile of bricks we looked at a bit ago. Hebrews 10:25, I close with this. Not forsaking the assembling. Assembling doesn't just mean getting together. It means coming together. Finding your place so the master builder can fit your brick into the wall and you can be a part of the impact as he builds his church. Everybody bow your heads, close your eyes. I want to pray for us this morning. I want to take a moment today. A couple of things. I think the Lord wants to release the prophetic in some of you. I want to pray for you on that. Lord, I pray right now that those who are here who haven't eagerly desired the prophetic would today humbly say to you, "Lord, would you use me that way? When I'm in a conversation with somebody at work, would you give me a word for them? I don't want to just talk about the weather and the ball game and the kids and whatever else is going on, but maybe something that really impacted them. Not something I came up with, but maybe something you dropped in my heart and my spirit for them." Lord, I just ask right now, you know what? With every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to see some hands go up. How many of you would love to see the Lord working in that way through you more and more? Just raise your hand. Okay, that's a lot of people. So, Lord, I just pray right now you would stir up and release the prophetic through every single one who raised their hand. That, Lord, they would not give up asking and desiring that you would speak through them to bring life-giving words of comfort and edification and encouragement to others. God, let us be sons and daughters of encouragement because your spirit is flowing through us. And then I want to pray for you if you haven't found your place in the body. Growth Track's coming up, by the way, and that's what Growth Track's really about. So you need to sign up for Growth Track. Maybe some of you need to go to the children's ministry luncheon today and just hear Janine's vision. Maybe there's a place for you there. But Lord, I pray right now for every person here who hasn't, they've been kind of a brick out on the edge, and you're calling them to get in the midst of your building. Lord, would you speak to their hearts right now? We just love you and worship you. And if you're here this morning, I can't close this time without giving this opportunity. If you're here today and you've never committed your heart or your life to Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity. You can pray right where you are. Just a simple prayer, just right there. And say, "Dear God, I need you. Forgive me of my sin. I've messed up and I need your forgiveness and your love. And come into my life. Teach me how to live for you." If that's you, God will hear you and answer you right where you are. Lord, thank you for what you're doing today in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.